Daniel chapter number 6. We'll be finishing up, Lord willing, chapter 6 this morning. And again, just good to see you all this morning and excited about being here. Just praising the Lord again. We have been planning, for those that may be visiting with us this morning, we have been teaching and training and preparing to do a better job in reaching out to our community. Over the past 2 months, we've started a study called Take It Personally, and our personal responsibility to reach out to our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ and with the truth of God's Word, and to seek to be a testimony. And our church has just done a wonderful, wonderful job participating, and I just only expect that to grow in anticipation and involvement. And we had a good time yesterday, and I got tickled. I told our church too, as we're out and about, the things that we keep in mind is we always keep courtesy in mind. We want to be courteous to our neighbors, and one of those things. And I tell them, if you see a no trespassing sign, then it's best just to move on to the next home that we can maybe reach out to them through a mail out or some other avenue. But we want to respect their wishes in that regard. And so we were looking. And so this one instance yesterday, we were out. I had a few of the teenagers with me. And we were going out and about and passing out our door hangers to invite our neighbors and our friends. And one of the young men hopped out of the truck and was on his way, and he was over halfway there when we realized that we missed a sign. And I have to say, as a pastor, you know, that there's a lot of things going through my mind when I read this sign. And the sign said, trespassers will be shot. And it didn't stop there. It continues saying, and survivors will be shot twice. I felt bad. He was already 3/4 there, so we let him go and just prayed hard, okay? Well, he got back safely, and I was thankful for that. I was just thinking, I just had just having these nightmares of this young man getting shot and me having to come back and tell his dad. And oh, goodness, that would have been bad, but it didn't, and I'm thankful for that. But we did. We enjoyed getting out and just being in our community. By the way, that's what we need to be doing. We need to be out in our community, meeting our neighbors. And I, as far as this pastor is concerned, I am not a believer in clubhouse churches. I believe that, yes, there is a unity among the brethren, but I believe that God's people ought to be getting out and integrating and being with the people of the community, loving them and encouraging them and helping them any way we can. And so I'm praying that God would use our church to be an encouragement in that way. And so thankful for those that are participated and thankful for those that have prayed and continually to go in that direction. And we will with God's help. Well, you find your place there in Daniel chapter 6. Well, I'm going to begin reading this morning in verse number 24 toward the end of the chapter. Again, we're going to try to finish up this morning, chapter 6. And you'll remember that the book of Daniel is basically in two parts. The first part that we're going to finish up this morning is more of a narrative, an historical account of Daniel's life and his testimony in a pagan society. And we started off the titling our a series, Living Godly in an Ungodly World, and that's exactly what Daniel was doing. And but after we finish this morning, we will soon start our study in chapter 7, which begins the second part of the book of Daniel, which deals mainly with prophecy and not much narrative. And so we'll be studying prophecy over the next several months, and I'm looking forward to diving into that with you folks and asking God to help us and teach us His Word and change us. But this morning we'll begin reading in verse number 24, and the Bible says, "And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel." Now you'll remember, let me pause there for a minute, what has happened. Daniel has been delivered from the lions. God's messenger was sent. We talked about that last week.
and how God used this time and this den to the lion's den to show His power. And so now that Daniel has been delivered because of his belief in the Lord God, his faith, the Bible says because he believed, he was delivered. And now we're moving into, since he's been delivered, the king was exceeding glad, we know in verse 23. And verse 24, he said, "And they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions." Not only them, but it says their children and their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. In verse 25, "Then King Darius wrote unto all the people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and steadfast forever. And his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions." So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Let's pray. Father, Almighty God, I claim my total dependence upon you this morning. Lord, I pray that you would give me the words to say. Lord, as you have enabled me and helped me to prepare this message, I pray, God, that it would be given in your spirit. Lord, that it would be given in a way that will be helpful to the people present. Lord, I pray that it would be given in a way that would bring glory and honor to your holy and precious name. Lord, we love you, not nearly enough, but Lord, we love you, and I pray, God, that you would help us this morning. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of this morning's message is this: Faithfulness versus Fraudulence. Faithfulness versus Fraudulence. You know, we've had some fraudulent things take place in our time, and many things that have especially made the media, and we talked a little bit about that even last week with some of the things we've seen on the news. But if you're a fan of sports like myself, there are certain things, and even in the sports world, that come to our attention from time to time because of fraudulence, because there is some sort of scam going on, some sort of controversy going on. And in one case, you'll remember back in 2012, it truly shook the sports world. It truly, all over the world, not just in America, but all over the world, especially Europe and the U.S. But that was when Lance Armstrong was found to be doping in the cyclist competitions, and especially the Tour de France and other areas. And what it came out to be is this man who was just world-renowned, and he was so popular, and he was known as the best. He was known as the elite of cyclists, and he won so many competitions around the world. And people would always accuse him, but he would always very adamantly say, "Not me. It's all in the training. It's all in the training." Yeah, I tell you what, it was all in the training of how to dope without getting caught. But he was always saying it was all in the training, and he won these competitions, and it came out, and it was proven. There was enough evidence to rip from him those seven titles that he had won in the Tour de France and others, and the other things that he was recognized for and his time and that, and it was all stripped from him. And so now he is a man that's won all these competitions, and it was stripped from him because why? Because he was not faithful, but he was fraudulent. He was not being honest with the sport that he had committed his life to. And folks, if there's one thing for sure, that's in the sports world. But in the Christian world, those that name the name of Christ must not be fraudulent, but must be faithful. Now notice I didn't say perfect. There is none perfect. No, not one. And we strive for that goal, and we will be that one day when we are removed from the presence of sin in heaven. But I'm telling you, there is a time now where we must decide to be faithful and not fraudulent. Not trying to cover up some activity that's going on below the surfaces. Because if we're not careful, that's what we'll do, thinking that none will find out. And these guys, I want us to see in the passage, in our closing passage this morning, that I see a picture of faithfulness with Daniel, and I see a picture of fraudulence with these men that sought to trick Daniel. And to trick, Darius, to get Daniel killed. And we're going to see what happened in this situation. I want us to see, number one, these men that I'm calling this morning for the message, the connivers. The connivers, and specifically the connivers here, I want to see, number one, were consumed by the carnivores. The hungry canines, overgrown, very hungry canines, exactly where the connivers went. They went to the carnivores, and I want to tell you something as we'll look at this passage. By the way, that's exactly what happens to anybody that seeks to connive anybody. The end result is destruction. The end result, you could say your luck will run out one day, if you use the term luck in that sense. Your hiding and conniving can only last for so long, and that's what was happening here. They were conniving, thinking they were going to get away with it, but God says, no, I'm not going to let you get away with it. And look what happened here in verse number 24. It says here that the king commanded it. He didn't even waste any time. As soon as Daniel was delivered, he gave the command. He said, bring the connivers. Bring those men that have been deceitful. Bring those men that have been fraudulent. Bring those men to me, because we are going to put them in the den. And it says here that they cast them into the den of lions. Now, what struck me in this passage as you read it and study it out is that they all, when they went in, the ones that the king had chosen to go in, the ones that had been deceitful, it just wasn't them. It was their wives. And then I got to thinking, it was their children. And you think, wow, that's brutal. That's awful. And you're right. It is. But you know, it was Persian law that it was a fixed thing that when one was found guilty of whatever act it was and whatever severity it was, also accompanied them was their family. And that's how dangerous it was to be in crime, because when you did get caught and when you did get in trouble, you would in essence be bringing your family along with you. Folks, I believe that we ought to take note of that. Because the same thing applies to us. Not necessarily in our government, when one is found guilty and you have committed the crime on your own, it is only you that stands before the judge. But the fact of the matter is, in the spiritual world, when it comes to our testimony for Jesus Christ, I want to tell you, when we decide to be fraudulent, we are bringing many with us to be punished. We are bringing many with us that will ultimately suffer because of our decisions. And we have to always keep in mind that my actions as a believer and my actions will affect others. And it will bring suffering upon myself, but also it will bring suffering upon my family, upon my friends, upon any of those that I associate with. It will bring suffering. And that's exactly what we see happening in this situation. They were all thrown into the den of lions. And before I move on, just as a way of looking at this passage together, there's proof here again that gives great truth to the action before that took place. We see, go back in your chapter there in verse 6 and go back to verse number 12. It says there, O king, in the middle of verse 12, it says, O king shall be cast into the den of lions. The punishment was, and the king answered and said, this thing is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. And then, so that's the punishment that they were able to be fraudulent with to get Daniel caught up in. And then we saw back in our passage there in verse number 17. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of the Lord's, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. And then it goes on to say here, in verse number 18, the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. He was worried. And then verse 20, and when they came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? And of course, we see in verse 21, then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have no hurt. That they have not hurt me. There's a lot of people that say, you know what? The lions, they probably really weren't hungry. They probably had been fed so much and you know, they were just content. And there was even some critics that will say, you know, those lions, they just, you know, they were probably just really old. Old and feeble, and you know, when Daniel got down there and when they threw him in, they were probably just yawning, you know, swatting the flies, thinking, we're way too old to attack this man here. We're retired. I want to tell you something, folks. These lions were not retired. And they were not full. They were hungry. And it's proven back in our text, go back there, about when the families were thrown in all together, the Word of God says here that, and their children and their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. They were consumed. They were destroyed before they could even touch the ground as those people were thrown in. Could you imagine the lions and how hungry they must have been for that to be able to take place? Well, and it shows the miracle of God's hand in that matter of preserving Daniel in a den of hungry lions that were ready to consume anything that was thrown to them. But we see here that that was not the case for them. They were totally consumed. And that brings me to the next point. We see the decree declared by Darius. We see the connivers were consumed. And next we see the decree declared by Darius after this consuming and after they were destroyed. Look what the king says there in verse number 25. And it says, then King Darius wrote unto all the people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. Now get this. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. All right, so now we see here that Darius is going to make a decree to his kingdom. Those are all that he has control over. After what he has witnessed about the God of Daniel, he gets these men in the den, gets them over with, and immediately makes a decree saying, all right, we've all seen the hand of God upon Daniel. We've all seen the difference that he's going to make. And I'm going to make a decree. And the decree is simply this. He says, listen, everyone in my kingdom will tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. What a testimony we see here. He says, I am making it a law that people fear God. You know, I'm convinced, Brother Mark, that we are living in a world today, even among God's children, where we have lost the fear of God. And this man, a pagan man, a pagan king, was making it a law that everyone, whether they believed or not, everyone must fear and tremble. And you know what else you could say this implies? Everyone must reverence the God of Daniel. This fear of God, he was saying, look, you have seen what God, what his God has done. And I think about what the Word of God says about being fearful of Almighty God, fearing the Lord God. Listen to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 6. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways and to fear Him. Ecclesiastes 12:13 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Listen to Romans 3:18 upon a group of people that were like in our society today, and look what Paul had to say about them. There is no fear of God before their eyes. No fear of God in our lives. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, get this, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Listen, I believe purity. I truly believe this. I believe that the pure heart, a pure heart will come from a pure fear of Almighty God. Understanding that the God of glory is worthy to be obeyed and revered and respected and to be followed. And that is missing. I had one, there are different definitions of fear, and I think there are several aspects of fearing God. But in one aspect, one of the Bible college professor told me one time, and I thought he was getting ready to just expound on some deep Hebrew, Greek explanation of what the fear of God means. I was just expecting that. But get, this is what he said. I think it was a pastoral class. And he said, men, you know what the fear of God means? And, of course, we're thinking this is going to be some real deep theology going on here. He said, it's being scared to death of God. Scared to death! You having a holy and reverent fear of Almighty God, knowing that He is a holy God, and knowing, yes, He loves me, but knowing that He is not going to put up with any junk. And having a holy and reverent fear. I tell you, I believe I understand that because I had a dad. Dad's in heaven now. But dad, I had a reverent fear of my dad. Especially when he gave me certain looks. And especially when I heard, they had a drawer in their room, Mom and Dad did, and he always kept his belts in the top drawer. And this is what made it bad to me, but it brought a fear and trembling. The drawer had some jingly handles on it. So when I'd got in trouble and her dad went to the room, I just cringed and was just waiting to hear it. I knew the belt was coming. And that had ingrained into me a fear of my dad, because I knew my dad did not put up any junk from me. And he set me straight so many times and in so many ways, and especially when it came to my mom. I had a holy fear of my dad. I'm telling you what, a great fear of my dad when it came to my mother as well. I knew for sure I better not smart off at the mouth at my mama in front of my dad. I'm telling you right now, my dad, he would chase me if he had to. He'd get after me. He'd snatch me up in a heartbeat, and he had before, and I'm glad he did, because what he was instilling to me, son, you need to have some fear of me. I'm not going to put up with you. And my dad was not an abuser. He did not abuse me. But he learned that in order to bring discipline upon my life, he needed to instill as a father a discipline that knew he meant business. and that he had an expectation of me. And that if I crossed the line to disrespect him, he'd let me know. And folks, I want to tell you, we have a Heavenly Father that loves us dearly. And he's patient more than any human father. I will tell you that right now. He is. But do not let that take away your view of a holy and righteous God that will bring His judgment upon His children that will not fear Him. And I believe that is something that will help every single one of us in this room when we can get back a healthy dose in our heart, a healthy dose of daily fearing our God. Being conscious of the fact that He is watching us and He is leading us and He is seeking to help us. But that's what was going on with these fellas that were the connivers. You know what? They had no fear of God. By the way, somebody that's living underneath the surface and got everybody else fooled, you know what that is? It's no fear of God. Because what they're saying is what only really matters is what people see. I don't care what God sees. That's irrelevant. I can just go about my life. And you know what that says? There's no fear of God. And my friend, if that ever gets to a point in your life, what you need to do is get some holy repentance and say, "Dear God, I have become so insensitive to Your Spirit that I don't even fear You anymore." I just have gotten this image. I was telling the young men, a lot of time our society pictures God as this grandfatherly look upstairs with this white robe and kind of sitting on a some sort of bench or whatever and just always trying to bring you in and pat you on the back and, you know, all that. That's the image a lot of times our society gives. But that's not the picture that the Bible gives. Our God is a holy God. A righteous God, a loving God. But He will not put up with my junk because I'm His child and He will set me straight. And I want to tell you something, that's something that I think we all need. And a pagan, if a pagan king has enough sense that y'all, as this society, as all my people that I'm ruling over, y'all better reverence Almighty God. If a pagan king can do that, hey, it should be no problem for the children of God. Why should we fear God? Look what it says in our passage. It says here that He is giving this decree. And He says that my kingdom, He says that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble in fear before the God of Daniel. For why? For He is the living God. Amen. He is the living God, the everlasting God. The ever-living Lord God. That's our God. Hey, you want me to tell you who He's talking about? He's talking about King Jesus. The Bible says clearly in Revelation 1:18, "I am Him that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen." He says, "I have the keys of hell and death." I want to tell you, the Lord is worthy to be feared because He ever liveth. He is the everlasting God. Not only because He lives forever, but look what else it says in our passage. It says, "Why should we fear and tremble? Because He is steadfast forever." You know what that speaks of? God's faithfulness. He should be feared because of His faithfulness. He's never lied. He's never made a mistake. He's never made an error. He's never been late. He is the faithful God. Listen to Deuteronomy 7:9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God. Faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. Hey folks, we ought to fear God, not only because He is the eternal one, the ever-living one, but I want to tell you, He's the faithful one. He will never disappoint. He's always true to His Word. He's never faltered at all. He is the faithful God. You earthly fathers in this room, and you know, and we all can say together, we have failed. We have failed so many times as fathers. But I want to tell you, we have a God in heaven. Our Heavenly Father has never failed. He is always faithful. listen to, he is also, listen to what he says here after he is steadfast. It says that he's steadfast there in the Word of God and forever. And then what it says, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. It's an everlasting kingdom. God's work will not be destroyed. Ever. He is worthy to be revered. And you know what this is saying here? It's say, this king Darius is saying that God of the Bible is invincible. He can't be penetrated. He can't be overtaken. And this is one of the most powerful men on the earth that followed after the Babylonians, the Medes and Persians, and he's the most powerful army on the earth. And he is saying, you know what he's saying here? The God of Daniel is the Most High God. He's the Most High God. In fact, Nebuchadnezzar said the same thing back in chapter 3, verse 26. He called out as the God of Daniel being the Most High God. You can't overtake the Most High God. He's always at the top. And that's why He should be revered. That's what even these kings noticed. But then look at another reason He should be revered and feared. Look what the Word of God says. It says there in verse number 27, and His dominion shall be even unto the end. And then verse 27, He delivereth and rescueth. That's another reason we should fear and reverence our God. The rescuing power of the gospel. Hey, listen, our God delivers. As much as we realize the Lord and His holiness and His ability to overcome anyone, anybody, anytime. He is the power. He is always looking to rescue. In fact, listen, God is in the rescue business. I know we got some first responders in this room. And perhaps you've been in situations where you've had to rescue people. I was in that business, if you will, in that service for 4 years in the Coast Guard. We were constantly rescuing people. But listen, God has been at it from the beginning of time with Adam and Eve, and He will continue it until the Lord comes back. He is in the rescue business. He is out to rescue the lost. He is out to rescue the lost from the power of the lion. And that is that lion who is walking about us seeking whom he may devour, the devil, the adversary. God is always seeking to deliver the lost from the attacks of Satan. Those that He can take captive at His will. But I want to tell you something else too, church. God is always looking to rescue us when we're in trouble. His children. And I know some of you in this room are facing some real, real battles. I'm facing some battles. We're facing some lions like I mentioned last week. But listen, as even this king realized, hey, this God of Daniel, He's a deliverer. He's a rescuer. And there is no problem, there is no difficulty too big for this God to overcome and to bring deliverance. And friend, whatever you're facing in here this morning, I want to tell you, understand that this God here, the God of Daniel, even a pagan king realized that He was a rescuer, that He was a deliverer. And I don't know what you're facing this morning, my dear friend, but get your faith in the right place and realize that deliverance is on its way. And God is going to rescue you out of what you're going through. And that is something that you can be encouraged by. And what does that come from, my dear friend? You know what it comes from? A fear of God. You have such a fear of Almighty God that you know that deliverance, it's on its way. He works wonders. I'm going to close with this. Look what else He says. Not only does He bring deliverance, and does He rescue? But then look what it says in verse 27. And He worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. That, my friend, is the God that we see here. This decree to fear God. Maybe that's something that we need to renew this morning, is our fear of God. Listen, let me ask you something. Are you allowing things in your life that before at one time you would be like, no, I can't do that. No, I will not watch that. No, I will not listen to that. You allow those things, you're seeing them creep back in. Can I just tell you what's happened? Please let me tell you. You have lost the fear of God. And you need to renew that and say, God, I have gotten a calloused heart to You, and I want to get back to where I walk in fear of my Creator. And to keep the commandments and fear my God. Last point this morning is this. Daniel prospers by the power of God. We see the connivers consumed. We see the decree declared. And then thirdly, we see Daniel prospers by the power of God. And that's where we see in our last verse there in verse 28. Look what it says in our closing chapter of 6. It says, so this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Do you see where it got him, folks? Do you see where faithfulness got Daniel? It prospered him. It prospered him. Can I give you two contrary facts here? On one side, we see the connivers, we see the fraudulents, we see the fraudulent ones that were deceivers. They had the king deceived. They thought they had it all down, but it didn't happen. And get this. This is what the difference is. Connivers, they seek to prosper by deception. There's a difference. They seek to deceive people. That's the way they prosper, is deceiving everyone. And you see where it gets them. But then Daniel, the difference in here is that Daniel is the faithful, not the fraudulent, but the faithful prosper by purity. A pure testimony. A pure heart, a pure mind before God. They prosper. I want to tell you something about the faithful ones. We're not. If you're a faithful one, you're not a fake. You have nothing, get this. You have nothing, can I say this? Please, let me say it. You have nothing to hide. If you're being faithful to the Lord God, there is nothing in your life that you need to hide. Why? Because you have a fear, a holy fear of God. And you are seeking to be upright. And though you may be persecuted for it, though you may suffer some hard times because of your stand, as Daniel did, being thrown in the lion's den, listen, God has promised you to protect you and prosper you spiritually. I'm not talking about filling your banks with billions of dollars, as this Creflo Dollar preacher says. I tell you where all that money goes. It goes in those new jets he's flying across the world. But He will promise to prosper you spiritually and your families and the influence that you'll have. That, my friend, is what God is wanting to do. Look at two phrases with me, and I'm going to close in prayer. I want you to see verse 28. So this Daniel prospered. You see, this Daniel prospered. All right, you see that? Now go back up to concerning the connivers. It says here in verse number 24, and the king commanded, and they brought those men. Listen, this morning, do you want to be a this Daniel? Or do you want to be a those men? Those men were fraudulent. They tried to get success by trickery and fooling people and being deceitful. But Daniel prospered by remaining pure. And this Daniel is what I want to be. And I pray this morning, I hope you want to be. I heard about this fellow that hard times had come. And you know, just a few years back, it got rough in our society, in our economy. We there were no jobs hardly at all. It just wasn't, the economy was terrible. And people would pretty much do anything, find any kind of odd jobs. Well, this guy was so desperate that he saw that where there was a circus coming to town and they were hiring. But it just wasn't any type of hiring. This guy that was over the circus had ran into a problem and his monkey had died. And so that was one of the job descriptions that this fella, if whoever came and wanted a job, he said, I need somebody to take the place of my monkey. And so this guy, well, listen, times are tough. And I got to eat. I got to do something. They said, where's the monkey suit? Well, he got his monkey suit. And man, he said, you just sound like a monkey. You scratch your underarms and everything else a little bit, and everybody will believe you're a monkey. So that's what he did. He got in that circus and he acted just like a monkey. And he did a great job. In fact, he started doing such a good job at it that he started enjoying it. In fact, he had this tail that he had where he could learn, where he could wrap it around something and swing around. And one day he got so excited and got to swinging so big and just with great speed, he's you know what he did? He swung right into the lion's cage. And that old rascal that had dressed up like a monkey, he thought the end had come. And, of course, people observing. And he starts yelling, help! Help! And then he heard something come out from behind him. And it was sure enough that lion. He said, shut up, you fool. They're going to know we both fake. You know, that's how it is sometimes. We got everybody fooled. Except for God. God knows our hearts, folks. Let's have a holy fear of our God. Let's pray.